That's all praise I need to know. 5 minutes. Yeah, baby. Historic ballers in this bad boy. How's everybody doing? Welcome to another episode of Historic Ballers, guys. Okay, we made it. Okay, guys, I can't tell you. I can tell you this, that I get so addicted to watching goddamn history that I have to regurgitate it in a podcast. I have to do things like this, guys. I'm Uncle Dust. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Download everywhere podcasts are available. I am Art LeBeau. I'm Art Bell of Coast to Coast AM, guys. And today we're talking about reptilians. Guys, call in with your reptilian stories. Okay, guys. John Lear, guys. I just tell you that there's 13 types of reptilians, guys. No, today it's Historic Ballers, guys. Rest in peace, Art. Art Bell, man, out there in fucking Prim. If you've ever been to Prim, Nevada, jumping Jehoshaphat and a bunch of meth that goes, you have to be on meth to be at State Line and live at State Line, Las Vegas. I mean, it's not Las Vegas. It's State Line of California and Vegas for fucking people that can't wait to gamble on the strip. They stop in Prim where there's Whiskey Pete Hotel, Buffalo Bills. These are all shitholes. They look like Motel 6s on meth, if that's such a thing. There's literally, I mean, just picture your Travelodge in your city, Motel 6, where you go, oh, they're up to something. You drive by and you see guys scurrying, going up to windows. They look like they're selling used underwear. You don't know what they're doing. They're like peeing in their underwear to get their skin used to having pee in their underwear for long periods of time. And you're like, what's the technology here, bub? That's meth technology, dude, meth tech. And this is Historic Ballers, guys. This is not to be confused with meth ballers and other ballers of all types of ballers. But we do celebrate, and again today, we celebrate all types of history. All types. It doesn't have to just be money. You don't have to just be J.P. Morgan, Vanderbilt, Cornelius Vanderbilt, stand up. The Commodore, stand up. J.P. Morgan. Dude, you don't just have to be one of these. You have to be the Koch brothers. You don't have to be the Koch brothers punked my Civil War veteran, he's just over here with morphine trying to make a nice seltzer, Coca-Cola, with the coca bean, the cola bean, and then they just straight jacked him at his funeral. That's going to be coming up. I mean, there's so many to cover, man. There's not enough damn time in a day to cover all this history, but we'll try, and I want to thank everybody again who joined up on Patreon.com. You can see it there at the bottom of the old screensaver there. I guess there will be videos on this one. Well, I shouldn't say there could be videos, but there'll be screen shares of what I'm gathering. This fine. I mean, at the end of the day, dude, this interests me. I'm very interested in history. I hope you are, too. If you have questions, comments, please join the Patreon. Leave your comments there. Tell me who you're checking out. I need to know, dude, like, common history. It is fine and everything that we learned in school, but there's so much more interesting stories that they just leave out because we're children. And then you get to the really good stuff. Rome is full of just beautiful, beautiful history where we can get into something like this, for instance. Okay, we can get into, and also at the top of the hour, if you will, Art Bell here. Art Bell here to tell you about the goddamn white supremacists that are connected to the UFOs, connected to Atlantis, connected to the Manhattan Project, connected to the people living on Mars, connected to the discrepancies and the cave dwellers at the Dolce mines in New Mexico where there was a shootout and 66 Army Rangers died. That's an actual show I heard from Art Bell. Sorry. I got Art Bell on. I got him on my mind, dude. Every night I scare myself to death and eat about 100 milligrams and listen to 1995 Internet Archive of Art Bell. God damn. Damn, rest in peace, Art Bell, dude. I mean, and he's, I'd never know. I wish I would have met him to just, he had the voice where you go, he wants to laugh. Like, he wants to laugh. He's, He's saying, to like a guy saying, well, yeah, I came in contact with reptilian snake people. Basically, they wanted to eat my soul and then bury. The guy said, this guy said, and I quote, when you die and you see something that says go to the light or go to the dark, he said it's a trick. And if you go to the light, you'll be in a coffin type jailhouse for 40,000 years, dude. Are you fucking kidding me? You want to talk about a, it fucked my whole brain up. I couldn't go to sleep. Never heard anybody say anything other than go to the light. Like, you want to go to the light. That's like heaven, or I don't even know what atheists think. If you sampled atheists, I'm sure they'd say, I don't know what they're going to be standing over the wall when we all go to heaven, and they're looking, wishing they would have, but they still would go to the light. They'd go, well, we didn't believe in God. We do now, but we're looking over the gate. We can't get in, but we're still going to look to the light. Wild. All right. Let me move past that, guys. Welcome to the show. I'm Uncle Dust. The Wiggers took the week off. Shout out to my boy Cliff Focus, my co-host on the Wiggers. He's entertaining a few career moves and whatnots, you know, trying to get by like we all are. I'm not paid in full like Eric B. and Rakim, but you can help the show. You can go help over, you can help the original Wiggers on buymeacoffee.com. I'll run the ticker later in the show. Buymeacoffee.com /CityDon'tSleep. And of course, my show, Uncle Dust Show, on patreon.com/firecrotchman. And I appreciate anything and anybody and everybody that listens, even if you don't give a dime. I appreciate you, man. Share a link, do blah, blah, blah. You know the deal. Hit the link down below, which, I mean, does that even work? I don't even know where you got to go to get that to work. I mean, shout out to the links below. I don't know what to tell. I don't know. I just like doing this, and I'll continue to do this. I don't give a shit. Shout out to everybody that's listening, dude. You're worth every. I'll pay, listen. How about I pay you guys $10 to listen to the show? Anyway, support if you can. If you can't, no big deal, too. We're going knee deep. We will be going later on to the 11 most sexually deprived things the Roman emperors ever did. Man, I'm in love with this whole. There's 14 hours. Of Roman documentary, but it's you know, retelling of stories, obviously, throughout history. They've all been, sure, they've been changed. The victor wins. They rewrite whatever was done, you know, but they're still fascinating, even if there's one grain of truth. And to watch it is just I'm fascinated with humans in general. Similarly, like, for instance, with the U.S., when the United States beat the Nazis and then went over to Japan, Iwo Jima, right, before going to Tokyo and giving them what for two times, dropping the bomb. We went ahead and took all the things that the Japanese were doing at their private, secure bases and torturing human beings. We wanted that knowledge. It's terrible. Yes, you don't want it done, but then you want to find out, well, what happens when you freeze a guy in sub-freezing temperatures and then throw like hot acid on them, right? Throw bugs on them, have them, you know, kick them. Like, these are things that the Japanese were doing that get overlooked. They get outshined by the Nazis on a lot of, and I mean, it is what it is, but still, keep an eye out for those goddamn Japanese over there in Iwo Jima, you sons of bitches. A formidable foe, might I add. I mean, they gave the U.S. what for, even though, yes, we took Iwo Jima. I mean, a couple thousand Japanese hiding in a volcano, 13 stories cut out in a volcano, and buried 8,000 to 10,000 U.S. troops, right? I think it was, well, injured, and my numbers might be wrong, guys. Don't get me. World War II veterans, listen, man, I got nothing but respect for you guys. I'm a veteran myself. I did not go to Iwo Jima. I am 45 years young. Moving forward, let's. The worst. Here's the thing that would hurt my feelings ever getting canceled would be by like a World War II vet that's like 100 years old that comes out and just says, I hate Dusty. Dusty is the most piece of shit motherfucker ever That actually would hurt my feelings, where I would feel bad. I seriously would feel shame. There's nothing else. The people that don't find me funny, the people that don't find anybody funny, and they just don't move on, it's like, whatever. But if the boys, if the old dogs came out and you were on Iwo Jima and got shot 3 times and taken, and then they go, yeah, I'm scanning around looking for whatever a podcast is, and I come across Historic Ballers. I want to hear about Messalina. And this cock-sucking dirty motherfucker's talking about the boys getting his facts wrong. Sorry, guys, if I got the facts wrong. So, today, Messalina, which I'm wondering if it goes... Well, let's just get into it, dude. Okay? Let's just get into it. Messalina was born around 20 CE. She was the cousin of Nero, Emperor Nero, and Caligula, which we're going to get into. Not today, but you'll hear his name come up quite a bit. He was pedoed. He got pedoed as a child by his uncle, who, as we... All these guys are pedo. They're everything that you don't want as a neighbor in one. All right? I mean, yes, there's a party, but then you're also having to play... They called it minnows, where his uncle... Tiberius would just be in his pool and have like 10, 20 children come up and fondle his boys in the pool. Called them his minnows in emperor air quotes. When she married Claudius, little is known for certain about the life of Messalina other than her descent through both parents from Octavia, Augustus' sister, and her claim to be the mother of Claudius' children. Britannicus and Claudia Octavia. Along with Augustus' daughter Julia, who had banished for sleeping with so many different men. This happens quite a bit. The emperors love plowing through dudes, men, and children, but when the females do it, you know, it carries on today, you dirty sluts. Messalina is probably one of the most notoriously promiscuous women of Rome, but does she deserve her reputation? Let's get into it, dude. Suetonius, a woman of abandoned incontinence. In 37 AD, Messalina married Claudius, who was at least 30 years older than her. At this time, Caligula was still emperor. Caligula is a maniac. I can't wait to get into that episode, guys. You're gonna want that. Please do, go check out Caligula so you can enjoy it with me when we do it. Claudius took in marriage Valeria Messalina, the daughter of Barbatus Messala, his cousin. Excuse me. But finding that besides her other shameful debaucheries, excuse me, she had even gone so far as to marry in his own absence, Caius Silius, the settlement of her dower being formally signed in the presence of augurs, he put her to death. I mean, he's just banishing these bitches, dude. She was married to Claudius and had by him a son and a daughter. To cruelty in the prosecution of her purposes, she added the most abandoned incontinence, not confining her lascivitudinesses within the limits of the palace where she committed the most shameful excesses. She prostituted her person in the common stews and in the public streets of the capital. And this is a woman after my heart, dude. Come on, bro. You're out there in Rome. These guys are bagging and they're at the Colosseum for 100 days straight. Lions, dude. Tigers coming up through the floor. Christianity's just coming into full blossom, bro. You got guys that have been reading about Jesus Christ. They're jumping down out of the Colosseum when there's gladiators fighting lions and tigers. Men that are just finding out about Christianity will just jump down to say that you guys are fucking tripping, son. We're Christians over here. We don't play that shit. And of course they got slaughtered. But man, that's when you see ballers. Christians are ballers, bro. There's some baller ass Christians that just said, I don't give a shit. Murder me, son. Stop the game. Stop the presses. Diplomats, she prostituted herself. The characteristics most predominant in him, Claudius, were fear and distrust. In the beginning of his reign, though, he much affected a modest and humble appearance, as he been already observed. Yet he durst not venture himself at an entertainment without being attended by a guard or spearman. They were big fans of fishnets and tridents. I mean, that must have been you know, it's one of those things that they just don't seem to work well, but I guess you could use it to, if another gladiator or somebody with a sword's coming at you, you could use it like a phone book in jail. I'm just, from like jailhouse movies that I watched, you know, they made soldiers wait upon him at table instead of servants. He never visited a sick person. Oh, this guy sounded pretty baller. Until the chamber had been first searched, smart, and the bed and bedding thoroughly examined. Who's under the bed? At other times, all persons who came to pay their court to him were strictly searched by officers appointed for that purpose. Nor was it until after a long time, in which much difficulty, that he was prevailed upon to excuse women, boys, and girls from such rude handling, or suffer their attendants or writing masters to retain their cases for pens and styles. Let's get into this sexy. I mean, this broad, if her reputation was thrown under the bus, I'm glad it was, because this story is phenomenal. Life's all about stories. I mean, you can't change the past. It happened when it happened. Is her reputation, what is that? Is there people still alive that are going, like, fighting for, you know, suing people for slander in the year CE 13 to 48? I digress. Messalina plotted with her lover, Gaius Silius, a Roman senator who was nominated as consul designate for CE 49. Silius had become infatuated with Messalina, and it seems Messalina preferred the handsome urban Silius to her aging husband. Messalina forced Silius to divorce his wife so that he could marry her, but instead of waiting until her husband was dead, they committed bigamy, I spelled it wrong, and marrying before witnesses. While Claudius was at Ostia, Silius was childless and ambitious. To effect their plan to usurp, Claudius, the conspirators tell stories about seeing Claudius being murdered in their dreams to frighten the old man. Claudius was indeed afraid. He had Appius, one of the conspirators, put to death for his stories, then related the whole affair to the Senate. And the senator, some son of a bitches, because everybody, if you're just getting into Rome, you'll find out that the Caesar, the king, isn't a, you know, it's not like you think, like a dictator, like, not, like Hitler had more power than Julius Caesar, which is wild because Hitler's in 1920s, and this is in, you know, circa what, you know, pre-Christ, right around the time of Christ here. He had Appius, one of the conspirators, put to death for the stories and acknowledged his great obligation to his freedmen for watching over him even in his sleep. So this, the senators were always in the background. This is where democracy is kind of being experimented with, which is beautiful. It's so fun to watch because you can see them trying things where you can see the ideas sown for what will be obviously America, you know, 1,700 years later, right? Is you can see the seeds of, this is like the trial and error era of how much power you should give, and the separation of not church and state, but the separation of the Senate and the Caesar and the senator there forever, like Joe Biden. Just, I mean, does anybody think that Joe Biden, I mean, come on, there's a reason Joe Biden wasn't president 30 years ago. Like, he just wasn't presidential material, but you stay there, you stay around so long that you're just there, and you probably have more power than the guy that the people think are in power, the Caesar or the president, if you're just in the Senate in the background. Nevertheless, the plot continued. When Claudius found out about it, Messalina was ordered into the emperor's presence to answer for her conduct. Terror now operating upon her mind, terror now operating upon her mind in conjunction with remorse. She could not summon the resolution to support such an interview, but retired into the gardens of Lucilius, there to indulge at last the compunction which she felt for her crimes, and to meditate the entreaties. Entreaties? By which she should endeavor to soothe the resentment of her husband. In the extremity, end quote, start quote, in the extremity of her distress, she attempted to lay violence hands upon herself, but her courage was not equal to the emergency. Her mother, Lepetta, who had not spoken with her for some years before, was present upon the occasion and urged her to the act which alone could put a period to her infamy and wretchedness. Again she had made an effort, but again her resolution abandoned her when a tribune burst into the gardens and plunging his sword into her body, she instantly expired, end quote. Suetonius says that when Claudius heard about her death, he simply asked for another chalice of wine. More wine, wenches! This bitch is dead! Bring me a fresh slice of pus, indicating he was either forgetful, as he was about many things, or just callous. Maybe the guy's just a real jerk. The Roman Senate then ordered a demanio memorii so that Messalina's name was removed from all public and private places, and all statues of her were taken down, end quote. Suetonius paints Messalina as a whore and a woman who sleeps with lower class men, you dirty heathens. I wonder what they mean by lower class men. Do they mean race? Do they mean job? Do they mean they have mustaches? They don't shave? Either way, she likes her sex rough and dirty, which is not the hallmark of a respectable Roman matron, let alone an empress. What passes for history when it comes to Messalina is political and social annihilation. Accusations of sexual excess were and still are a tried and tested smear tactic. Against women in this case, they were the result of politically motivated hostility. Pliny the Elder, Messalina the prostitute. I mean, beautiful. Look at this. Do you imagine that just coming up to you? You're just a guard. You're just on the streets in Rome. And she just wants to fucking slay your cock. Tickle you with that fan on your bum. She wants to tickle your bum. You go, don't put a finger in there. I don't want a finger in there. She goes, no. I'm just going to use these eagle feathers to dust your anus, which probably is the most dirtiest anus of all time. I mean, until they invented baths. And then there's probably so much fecal matter. I mean, I like my apartments have 200 people in here, 300, and we have one spa. And I mean, you like to think that like half the people had a shower that day. But like in Rome, just being in Rome, and then there's a few bathhouses for everybody, which is basically a pool. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, even rich people, they don't take showers before they get in the pool. Get the fuck out of here. Who does that? I mean, I did it yesterday because it was 100 and something degrees. I went and just rinsed off in the shower so I could stand at the barbecue in 102 degree weather and cook tri-tip pork and chicken. No big deal. Three meats. That's what I do. The account of Messalina competing with the prostitute Cilia to see who could have sex with the most people in one night was first recorded by Pliny the Elder. Pliny says that with 25 partners, dude, Messalina won. 25 Roman pieces of meat penetrated the fine Messalina, dude. Pliny was discussing the differences between the sexual habits of human beings and animals. I mean, this is one of the conversations that one would have in Rome. You'd go, but what about that bull, dude? I mean, yeah, you think Julius Caesar can throw down in the bedroom, but what about that bull? You seen that bull go to work? I mean, these guys were nuts, dude. I mean, this is society really being, like, laws being worked out. It's fascinating to take into account, like, what they find in Pompeii, when they find in the brothels, which were legal, and it was legal to go see prostitutes if you're a married man. Obviously, you couldn't if you're a married woman. That was frowned upon. But there were pictures of, like, pornographic. I mean, these are chiseled in the walls and paintings in which you couldn't have oral sex. So there were pictures. A lot of people think there's like a debate of a bunch of artwork they found in Pompeii when they uncovered a brothel where there's pictures of, like, oral sex on the walls. And they think that it was so crazy. And this is what I one side was like, it's so crazy to think that anybody had oral sex in this era, and it was also outlawed. But it wasn't outlawed because they were freaks, dude. Like, these people were freaks. So they even drew a line. You know what I mean? They'd bang kids, but they wouldn't go down and eat an asshole, right? In that era. And it's like people were dying. Obviously, there's infections, and they traced it back to like, well, don't eat out, you know, the Royal Guard's asshole. I mean, this guy's been sword fighting for, you know, 24 hours straight. You might not want to, you know, chow down on the, on his man box there, Messalina. Messalina, the wife of Claudius, in quotes, Messalina, the wife of Claudius Caesar, thinking this as a palm quite worthy of an empress, selected for the purpose of deciding the question, one of the most notorious of the women who followed the profession of a hired prostitute. And the empress outdid her after continuous intercourse, night and day at the 25th embrace, end quotes. I mean, 25 in a night. I mean, it's probably only 12 hours in a night. I don't know if they worked like the 24-hour shift. That's pretty hungry, man. That's a hungry girl. I mean, I think her number should be appreciated. If it is, even if it's not true, I think they should look at it instead like, fuck throwing a reputation on the bus. This is something that, like, I feel, I mean, back then you could really get ahead. Like now, not like women kind of cornered themselves with like saying, oh, you know, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to do sexual favors to like move higher in the workforce. This isn't my opinion. This is just what it is, guys. 2023. I'm just saying, right? This is just an idea. This isn't what my Dust's personal opinion is. I don't want your daughters topping people off to move ahead at 7-Eleven. But I'm saying is that there was a time where it was fine. And both parties kind of, you know, were like, it's yes, top me off, secretary. I'll put you in a position of, you know, head of janitorial services. It's fine. And it's a way, dudes, I couldn't just go in there and go like, I'll top you off. Can you make me the leader of the night crew on this on the cement laborers union? I wish. That's a pretty pain. That's probably a really good job. Juvenal, the she-wolf. The Roman poet Juvenal tells in his sixth satire that the empress used to work. A lot of at the time, comedians, poets mixed it together. And you'll see stories of sex and the way you have sex and the way that you shouldn't shame being addressed in public through poetry in this era. And they become known to the Caesars of the time. And the Roman poet Juvenal tells in his sixth satire that the empress used to work clandestinely all night. So she's like a Navy SEAL of whores all night in a brothel under the name of the she-wolf, Lasisca. Juvenal coined the phrase, frequently applied to Messalina thereafter. Meretrix Augusta, the imperial whore, in so doing, he coupled her reputation with that of Cleopatra, another victim of imperially directed character assassination. So we're getting into, you know, did she bang 25 dudes in a night? Didn't she? I mean, it's a cool record. It's a Guinness record. I feel like there should be some pride in that. I don't know what outcry is to, like, save her reputation. They should just take the, I mean, you think, dude, like, because we're going to find out here that the people that are going to come after her, I mean, what I'm saying is she's paving the way for Nero, Emperor Nero, by being in places and, yes, using her body. And some will look at it like shameful. I'm sure she wouldn't. I'm sure even if a part of this is true, she was using it to position herself or position her son, Nero, in position to become emperor, which we'll get into. He coupled her reputation with that of Cleopatra. Okay, and also they were obsessed with, like, Caligula was obsessed with the pharaohs and calling himself a god, and you were not supposed, like, no emperor before him did that. You were supposed to, and we'll get into Caligula. Caligula was the first of many that would deem themselves gods while they were alive. Like, they wanted to see their statues now instead of, like, seeing it after the fact that you do a good job or people love you for one reason or the other, that they'll make statues of you, right? And your reputation will leave on, it'll carry on that way. But he wanted his statues now. He wanted people to fear him now. He wanted to be a god now. Which is wild, because again, Caligula, but like they say, pedophilia, man. Like his uncle Tiberius, you know, kills most of his family, his mother, and they're related. Then he takes Caligula under his wing, but under his wing in these days isn't like the big homie taking you under, so to speak, in 2023 and being like, I'll teach you the ways of making money. Like, he took him under his wing and made him be one of the minnows. He made him watch him, people get executed, cruelty towards children, throwing people off cliffs. I mean, he would have sex with children and just throw them right off the cliff out the door, like literally out of his house walls. There was a drop of 100 and something feet, and he would just huck people off I don't even know if they're wearing clothes. I guess they're by their junk. I'm not sure what they grabbed onto back then. I haven't got into their clothing, but he coupled her. So Juvenal coined the phrase frequently applied to Messalina thereafter. Oh, we got it. In doing so, he coupled her reputation. Okay. Yeah. And also he was starting at this time. Now they were still learning about Egyptians. So they would, like, Egyptians were big on incest as well. The pharaohs in Egypt were big on incest. So not directly, I'm sure it would have happened somewhat anyway, but a lot of them were starting to bang sisters. I mean, they were banging all their sisters, killing their sisters, taking the kids. Caligula did this, you know, he was murdering his sisters and having sex with them. Hear what Claudius had to endure. And I quote, hear what Claudius had to endure. As soon as his wife perceived he was asleep, this imperial harlot that dared prefer a coarse mattress to the royal bed took her hood she wore by nights, quitted the palace, but with a single attendant, but with a yellow tire concealing her black hair, entered the brothel, warm with the old patchwork quilt, and the cell vacant, and appropriated herself. Then took her stand with naked breasts and gilded nipples, assuming the name of Lysiska, and displayed the person of the mother of the princely Britannicus, received all comers with caresses, and asked her compliments, and submitted to often repeated embraces. End quote. Again, join the episode. Support on patreon.com/firecrotch. Join there. Leave comments who you'd like to hear about. Who's your favorites in history? Ballers of all kind. Weird money-making inventors. You know, this is a baller. This is a sexual baller, I would say. You know, there's room for everybody. There's room for all types of ballers. And I feel like if you open up your baller heart, you'll see the baller way. End quote. Describing the bigamist marriage, he wrote, she is long since seated with her bridal veil already. The nuptial bed with Tyrian hangings is openly prepared in the gardens. And according to the antique rites, a dowry of 1,000,000 sesterces will be given. The soothsayer and the witnesses to the settlement will be there. Do you suppose these acts are kept secret? Entrusted only to a few. She will not be married otherwise than with all legal forms. Tell me which alternatives you choose. End quote. And then she says, quote, shall he accept or not? The proffered bride and marry Caesar's wife. Hard point in truth. This most noble, this most beauteous youth is hurried off, a helpless sacrifice to the lewd glance of Messalina's eyes. Haste, bring the victim in the nuptial vests. Already see the impatient empress dressed. The genial couch prepared, the accustomed sum told out. The augurs and the notaries come. But why all these? You think perhaps the rite were better, known to few? And to keep from sight, not so the lady, she abhors a flaw. End quote. So they're hitting him with all types of poetries, and a lot of these guys would do satire, a lot of the poets, man, and I've covered a couple on an episode, I believe, of the Weird Ballers, where you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, there's instances of these guys going around like Socrates and just like, and just basically either parodying him or, I mean, they had fans. They also had fanboys that were fanning out to these people in that time that were fanboys, or they were just, they felt like they didn't get their due and they were just as good as whatever said person did, Socrates being philosophy and holding court and having 30, 100, however many people he's talking to a day. And there's just guys that would show up there that were like hobos that were just like living in piss and squalor, but had a great point of view. And it's like, hey, why not listen to me? I got some shit to say over there, Socrates. End quote. This is a fun thing to say. Messalina's most famous affair is the one she had with Senator Gaius Silius. It is said she told Silius to divorce his wife, which he did, and that they planned to kill Claudius and make Silius emperor. Their adulterous wedding was a Bacchanalian affair. Let's try that again. Bacchanalian affair. According to Tacitus, Messalina, and I quote, Messalina had never given voluptuousness a freerein. Autumn was at the full, and she was celebrating a mimic vintage through the grounds of the house. Presses were being trodden. Vats flowed, while beside them, skin-girt naked women were bounding like bacchanals, excited by sacrifice or delirium. She herself was there, with disheveled tresses and waving thyrsuses at her side. Silius, with an ivy crown, wearing the buskins and tossing his head. End quote. So let's get in. I mean, you see, she's rocking a lion. I mean, look at this. You tell me that's not power, dude. The priestess of Bacchus. I mean, that's baller status, dude. In any language, in any era, you're rocking a lion skin over the shoulder. You got the ivy above the head. You got a pine cone staff, dude. And a cave behind you, maybe, where you know what I mean? You cold chill with the homies. Baller. I mean, in my book, that's baller all day. You know what I mean? If somebody shows up and you're walking by, you're riding your bike, and all of a sudden you look over, and there's a homegirl like this just popped out. And it's like, yo, I mean, you want to listen to a harp and drink a couple gallons of wine? You're like, fuck yeah, dog. Like, I thought you'd never ask. Let's go, baller. Ball, that's, end quote. The problem for Messalina is that the Roman principally, Tacitus and Suetonius wrote them some 70 years after the event. So now we're getting into the haters. Now we're getting to a hater situation. Now there's debates on both sides. You know, did she hold up the Guinness Book of World Records for her sexual exploits? Or was she, you know, thrown to the wolves, so to speak? Is her whole person being, you know, shitted upon for some political reason? So here's our point. Let's get to the points. Let's get it here. So 70 years after the events, this hugely hostile political environment where everything related to the imperial line to which Messalina had belonged was being trashed. I mean, she was connected with some very powerful people. You know, Nero, I mean, she's up. So there's always going to be haters and people trying to move their own narrative of different moving pieces. I mean, there's so many moving pieces in any people, anybody that's trying to run a government. I mean, they are. And it's fascinating. And you hear stories, right? When you're reading about these things of like, I mean, everybody basically drank until they threw up, drank and ate until they threw up, then came back to that's what they did. So everybody was, I wouldn't call it bulimic, but everybody was just used to being over full from food. If you had, if you're one of the haves and not the and lucky enough to not be a have not in the, these Roman days, that's how you rolled. You drank wine from sun up to sundown, and you ate as much as you could. You threw up. You came back to the party. That's just what you did. I mean, and there's stories of people like when glass was invented. Glasses are invented about this time, and there's stories of like, you know, senators, other important people going because chefs, there were slave chefs in the era, right? But they were still popular. Some people had, most of them were slaves, and people would have them in their homes, and then they'd, right? And then they made food so beautifully that the rest of the big shots wanted to come over to the senators and other famous people at the time, and they would come over. And it was no big deal. Like, slaves were known. Like, if you came in my house and I got 3-4 slaves, it was just known that, like, you could bang them. Like, just, you just hoped that they didn't bang your wife. And also, if you dropped a glass, like, this guy, I'm at a loss right now for his name, but the story goes is that he has a diplomat over, not diplomat, he has a senator over, he has a, for a nice meal from his slave chef that's very popular. They eat, they drink. And one of the slaves drops one of these new inventions at the time, a glass, which the senator had been commenting on how beautiful it was. And these things are very expensive. They take crazy long to make. And he's showing off his glasses. The slave drops it. And this guy kept like electric eels under his house in a giant pool just for occasions like that. For slaves that he would just huck into this demise. It's wild. Wild history, man. I mean, these are real life, every bad guy you see in a movie, every like villain that has, I mean, these guys were above the law. You know, it was all looked at like, this is just what we do. This is the culture. So Satinius' history is a great read, but is largely anti-Julio-Claudian scandal-mongering. They all get bad press from Tacitus claims to be transmitting what was heard and written by my elders without naming sources other than the memoirs of Agrippina the Younger, who had arranged to displace Messalina's children in imperial succession and was therefore particularly interested in blackening her predecessor's name. Valeria Messalina came from the most distinguished Roman social circles. She was no two-bit harlot. She's portrayed as a scheming, manipulative, and greedy liar who has no compunction in bringing down innocent people who she dislikes or who gets in her way, which it seems has an element of truth about it. The female members of Claudius' family were a special target for Messalina's spite. Within the first year of Claudius' reign, his niece, Julia Livilla, only recently recalled from banishment upon the death of her brother Caligula, was exiled again on charges of adultery with Seneca the Younger, and they would just cast him out. I mean, I remember she got cast out to like islands. You're on an island by yourself, these little islands off the coast there. And they just put you, and they would put their family there. They'd put their sister they were banging there. Their sister, they'd been banging their sister, and they get tired of her. They just, well, you're banished. And they just put you on an island by yourself, and you're just there. And most of them would kill themselves once they got there. I mean, you're just there, and they've been living a life of a luxury. They're not even, I mean, even back then, and it wasn't like people, you know, if you're higher up on the food chain of society, so to speak, and you were used to like owning slaves and having everything done for you, and you always had money, and then you get banished to what kind of skills do you have to survive? You haven't been fishing your whole life. You've always had people bring you food. So accusations made, but Claudius ordered Julia's execution soon after, which of course did not make Messalina. Messalina also considered Agrippina's son Nero, Lucius Nero, a threat to her son Britannicus. She sent assassins to strangle Lucius during his siesta, but the assassins bungled the job. They saw what they thought was a snake on his pillow and left, perhaps thinking the snake would kill him and spare them the guilt. The snake turned out to be a snakeskin, and after that, Agrippina considered it a lucky charm. She gave it to her son Nero when he became emperor to protect him in 47. Agrippina's second husband, Crispus, died, leaving her a wealthy widow. Later that year at the secular games, Agrippina and Nero were cheered more loudly than Messalina Britannicus, raising Messalina's ire, and Agrippina soon found herself implicated in allegations of illegal, magical and superstitious practices, end quote, according to Tacitus. Messalina was only prevented from further persecuting Agrippina because she was distracted by her new lover, Gaius Silius. A lot of moving parts here, guys. There's a lot of moving parts. And I mean, everybody's boning everybody. Everybody's trying to get to the top. Everybody's backstabbing everybody, dude. It's fucking wild. It's the most fascinating. Any era you pick in that Roman era, just pick an era, man. Julius Caesar, you know, Caligula's. Tiberius, you get any of these guys, man, and they're just, for the most part, they are insane people in a society that sex isn't enough. They're banging children at all times. They're taking children slaves. That's just a thing. Like, it's just known that you're going to, even if you take a slave, you're not going to take an old slave. You're going to take a young slave, and then you're not going to not have sex with a hot kid slave. That's just what they did. It was accepted. It was just, this is what we're doing. And a lot of them lost their minds. Caligula lost his ever loving mind. I mean, he went from being pedoed to being molested to being by his own uncle Tiberius to then murdering him to then later becoming emperor. And then just, I mean, this guy did things to the general public that was just, some of it is hilarious, some of it is downright funny, of what he does to senators and these politicians. He hated them, he hated the politicians. It's hard to tell, just like this story we just got into, the Messalina, like, it's hard to tell, right? Is this 1% true? Is it 100, you know, is it 100% true? Was it less? Was it more? Did she bang 1,000 in a night? Did she do that every night? Right? I mean, it's 2,000 years ago. Like, we're never going to, right? We're never going to know. But it is fun to think that this, I like to think that Caligula, I like to think he knew exactly what he was doing. Even though he was, yes, he was doing some horrific things to people. It seemed like he was having a good time, and the politicians were not. Whereas the Caesar really isn't a politician. They just get this maniac in his face out there. And it's just like the president, where you get this president, and you're like, look at this, and we don't know what's going on behind the closed doors. We don't know. That's what the senators are doing, the same thing that they're doing today. We don't know what they're doing. You really have to dive deep. And who has time? I don't have time for that. I just pop it on and go, oh, Joe Biden's riding his 10-speed again with 17 secret agents and... what the fuck I know? I don't know. He's got a goofy fucking face. Messalina was clearly a schemer, but so was everyone else. She was only doing what most other women in her position were doing. She was protecting her own son and her own position. However, when Messalina took up with Silius, it seems that she was intent on breaking the circle of freedmen surrounding Claudio. Perhaps most particularly Narcissus. These men were totally loyal and dependent on Claudius and had a great influence on him. Why she was so hostile to them remains a mystery. Narcissus, the man who revealed Messalina's bigamous marriage to Claudius, was one of Claudius's freedmen and was probably glad she'd gone too far, and he can now see the back of her. Yeah. And it's just, the story's going like this in and out, bro, with like people. And it's like they're cheating on each other. They're fucking banging each other. They don't care about banging. They'll bang their children. Everybody's trying to bang their way to the top. Like, it's just known. When you get born, what are you guys doing? We don't know, but we're going to try to bang our way to the top. If I'm born, you know, and everybody's in line because they're related, even though you're like the great grandson, great nephew, great cousin, there's a chance that if everybody dies, that you can become Caesar. So if you're so motivated To do so, you could start eliminating your other cousins and your other uncles. And you can eliminate your way, which was perfectly could happen in this era. You know, today, that would be a little bit more. There's much more scrutiny. We got cameras and we're not, you know, Hunter Biden, I don't know. Well, he couldn't. Obviously, it's not a family thing, so to speak. I mean, go figure. We've had a couple Bushes in there. I mean, how does that happen? It happened. Who knows? But, I mean, some say, I'm not going to get into conspiracies, but Aleister Crowley, I mean, that's a fun one. I've heard that on Art Bell, I think, a couple of times. They're like, oh, Aleister Crowley is supposed to be Barbara Bush's dad. No. The Bush first. Yeah, Barbara Bush, right? I don't know. It's a fun one. That's a fun one. If you get the pictures, you go, I mean, I think it's just a way to just be like, yeah, she's ugly, dude. She's not the best looking. Let's just say she's not the best looking woman on the planet. I mean, if you're listening to this, Barbs, I love you, okay? Don't send any Aleister Crowley fucking Scottish Freemasons over to the house to murder the kid. We're just having a fun. We're just ballers over here. We're just balling out of control. So, anywho. And then, of course, Messalina's legacy to the art where she gets into the world of art. You know, she's 1640 was published, The Tragedy of Messalina. The cast list attached to the 1640 has been cited as evidence that it was staged prior to this date and by the king's rebels. So Richard's Messalina is a wildly exaggerated caricature of the historical woman. Richard stretches the evidence of his sources to depict a character beyond recognition in Roman histories. His Messalina is depraved, wicked, and utterly irredeemable. I mean, but it almost seems, to be fair, if you don't just look at this story, but follow other stories of other people in this time, and there's a lot of these stories where there is nothing redeemable except that they didn't kill more. That's like there's a lot of those where you go, oh, well, okay, he only put like 1,000 people on stakes. You know, we're going to get into it right here. Might as well just jump into it now. The 11 most sexually depraved things the Roman emperors ever did. The emperors of Rome, number one, niece marrying. The emperor Claudius married his brother's daughter, Agrippina. His affections were ensnared by the wiles of Agrippina, daughter of his brother Germanicus, aided by the right of exchanging kisses and the opportunities for endearments offered by their relationship. And at the next meeting of the Senate, he induced some of the members to propose that he be compelled to marry Agrippina. Hey, guys, you know what would be funny? If you guys said I should probably marry, I don't want to say it, dude. I mean, you know what I mean? But, like, if you guys think it's cool, hey, what if I marry her, dude? What if I marry my niece, dude? What's good? On the ground that it was for the interest of the state. Listen, guys, it's not even me. I don't even find her that attractive, dude. So what? Her skin's all tight, and I got this old-ass bag over here. Also, that others be allowed to contract similar marriage. Listen, I'll do it, guys, and then you guys can do it. So you say I can do it, and then it'll be fine, and then we'll just put that in the law, which up to that time had been regarded as incestuous. So he's making it patriotic over here. He's making niece marrying the thing to do. Hiring anal sex experts, guys. No judgments on anal sex here, guys. Okay? You know me. I'm all for it. But putting professional anal experts on the imperial payroll is a bit too much. On retiring to Capri, Tiberius devised a pleasance for his secret orgies. Teams of wontons of both sexes selected as experts in deviant intercourse and dubbed analysts, copulated before him in triple unions to excite his flagging positions. Guys, get it right. There's an L in there. In case these pros were somehow not up to the task Tiberius put them to, he had a sex library full of illustrated works so he could just point to what he wanted. I mean, there's only one way to skin a cat. I mean, but it seems like maybe there's multiple ways to penetrate an anal. I mean, back then, I mean, you have to imagine, dude, like, at the level that we're at in 2023 with porn on every phone, children getting, you know, cell phones at a young age and people not putting the parental block on there. I mean, who knows what's going to, I feel for the kids in 20 years who just have been Googling porn since they were 8, 9, 10, 12, whenever, and just not even, there's probably people out there now that have anal sex first before vaginal. I'm sure that's a thing. I'm sure that's happened. Where the internet has just done that, where it's like, and I'm talking about like somebody that's straight. I'm talking about a boy having sex with a girl, and then but having sex in the butt first. That's got to be a thing. It's got to be a thing. The animal game. Nero was so into being as deprived as possible. He supposedly defiled every single part of his body, that he had to think up some pretty original ways to keep it fresh. He at last devised a kind of game in which, covered with the skin of some wild animal, he was let loose from a cage and attacked the private parts of men and women who were bound to stakes. And when he had sated his mad lust, was dispatched by his freedman, Dorotheus. I mean, if you're not living, right? If you're not living the dream, you know, like, boys, what are we going to do? Listen, grab that. You see that fucking lion skin over there? Or give me the giraffe skin. You see the giraffe skin? Hit me with the giraffe skin. Well, first, I'm just going to tell you this. First, you see our friends out there? You know, all the boys we invited over here. Let's get them. Go tie them up. Stake them to the, you know, pour a little wine in their mouth. Give them a couple shots of that rot gut. I mean, that wine had to be rough back then. I refuse to believe that it was some high-level wine, guys. It had to be like Cisco, Mad Dog. I mean, it was probably a high level of dirt wine back then. Sister fucking. Flat out. Say what you want about Caligula, but he was really, really good at incest. This is a fact. I mean, and he was, whether, you know, it's hard to say, right? Because we don't have stories about everybody back then. Was the common, regular street kid, would he be into incest as well? Did it just, you know, or was it just the elite level of bloodlines that were banging like this? I don't know enough, but I will get back to you. I definitely will get back to you on that. That's a question for you guys. Is that something that, you know, regular, just the regular run-of-the-mill civilians were doing too? Or was it, you know, more restricted for the rulers and the royal bloodlines here? He lived in habitual incest with all his sisters, and at large banquet he placed each of them in turn below him while his wife reclined above. That's wild. I couldn't imagine my sister topping me off, dude. It's almost unbearable. I think it would have to be my... It definitely wouldn't be my aunts. The aunts, no go. Sisters, no go. I'm trying to think who it would be. I don't know. I'll save that for later. His sister, Drusilla, was his favorite, having had sex with her when he was but a boy. And when they were grown, he simply took her from her legal husband for more fun. This was happening a lot. These guys would just blow out their friends' wives. If you were under them on the social totem pole, they would just have you over, have a lovely evening, and then just take your wife in the other room, bang her out, and then come back and hold court in front of you, telling you what he just did to your wife and everybody else in the room. His other sisters, he was somewhat less fond of, and thus he only often prostituted them. Sex rest stops. Here's an idea you probably never had to make those long road trips more enjoyable. Set up stops full of prostitutes along your way. And when you do, thank Nero. Thanks, Nero. Whenever he drifted down the Tiber to Ostia, or sailed about the Gulf of Bay. Booths were set up at intervals along the banks and shores, fitted out for debauchery. I mean, it just does sound like a better time, guys. While bartering, matrons played the part of innkeepers from every hand, solicited him to come ashore. Whew. Motherfucking. In terms of sexual depravity, Nero even put Caligula to shame by going to the source and having sex with his own mother, Agrippina. Come on, man. How did people know? So they say whenever Nero rode in a litter with his mother, he had incestuous relations with her, which were betrayed by the stains on his clothing. So he came on his clothes? End quote. Oh, here we go. I gotta go. Agrippina, how did people know? In quotes, so they say whenever Nero rode in a litter with his mother, he had incestuous relations with her, which were betrayed by the stains on his clothing. End quote. Later, when Nero was emperor, people tried to keep him from fucking his mother. This is fucking wild, dude. I mean, having sex with your mom is foul, dude. I couldn't even imagine. If I had to, though, gun to head. Are you having sex with your mom or your dad, right? You're having sex with your dad to save your mom, right? You love your mom so much that you'd have sex with your dad to save your mom, right? To save that. That's the way I look at it, at least. It should probably go without saying that eventually Nero tried to murder his mother by putting her on a break-apart boat. Okay. Creating an imperial brothel. Caligula was fond of spending money, but not so good at making it. After depleting the coffers at one point, he had the bright idea to turn the palace into an impromptu whorehouse. In quotes, to leave no kind of plunder untried, he opened a brothel in his palace, setting apart a number of rooms and furnishing them to suit the grandeur of the place, where matrons and freeborn youths should stand exposed. Then he sent his pages about the forum basilicas to invite young men and old to enjoy themselves, lending money on interest to those who came and having clerks openly take down their names as contributors to Caesar's revenues. End quote. Rest assured, those who enjoyed themselves on credit eventually paid up. Pay up, pay up, pay up. I love selling blow. Sorry. I was listening to Stitches earlier. We might have to close on that. Part-time prostitution. The Emperor Elagabalus, who ruled from 203 to 222 AD, outdid Caligula. What? Say what? I haven't seen nobody outdo a Caligula, dude. This is next level. I might have to deep dive on this cocksucker. I haven't seen nobody outdo Caligula. Caligula is the worst of the worst, best of the best. Like, fuck the rest. Madman to even in that era where they were like, enough, dude. This is enough. Back then, if they had enough, you knew it was enough. Elagabagus. Kind of cool. Elagabagus set up a brothel in the palace and pimped himself. In quotes. Finally, he set aside a room in the palace and there committed his indecencies, always standing nude at the door of the room, as the harlots do, and shaking the curtain which hung from the gold rings, while in a soft and melting voice he solicited the passerbys. Hey, you need your cock sucked, your ass licked. There were, of course, men who had been specifically instructed to play their part. You go over there and you say, yeah, please fuck me in the ass and suck off my fucking cockskin. For as in other matters, so in the business too, he had numerous agents who sought out those who could best please him by their foulness. He would collect money from his patrons and give himself airs over his gains. He would also dispute with his associates in this shameful occupation, claiming that he had more lovers than they and took in more money. End quote. Whew, that's some whoring, dude. I mean, oh, man, that is kind of baller, dude. It is kind of baller to be like, you know what? I'm not getting enough sex, dude. I think this is what I'm going to do. But I want to feel wanted. So I'm going to go act like a whore over here. But boys, you go tell them, you know, I need money. Let's to pay up so I can, you know, so they can bang me. That's kind of cuckballer. That's a cuckballer situation. Maybe I'm using that wrong. Am I using that wrong? Not sure. That is a fun one. That's a fun time. That seems like a fun thing to do. These guys are having fun back then, man. Right? I feel like they were just having a fucking really good time. I mean, yes, a lot of them got carried away. And yes, they couldn't leave the goddamn kids alone. Can you quit with the bull? I mean, these guys would take a bull. First of all, they'd take a slave. But this was like how they... This is the complexity. Or the like things you can't wrap your head around. Where they would just take a nobody person. A nobody, either a slave or just somebody off the street. A regular dude. And the powers that be, the senators, the other royal bloodline would take and dig a hole, a giant, like 10 by 10 hole, put the person down there, put boards with 2 to 3 inch gaps in the middle, take one of their bulls that they loved, one of these, a giant bull, and then they would just slaughter it on top of the boards so that the guts and all the hot blood would run over his face and in his mouth, and they wouldn't kill him. So they did things like that without, I mean, a lot of the times they stop short of what you would consider to be too far. Like, I keep waiting, like when you're reading about them, you always go, oh, they're going to murder him, or now they're going to have sex with him. Now they're going to take the blood and catch it and make him spit it in their butt, right? Like, you really go there with these people. You feel like you're there. When you're watching it, like, makes your stomach, it makes my stomach turn, a lot of the stories that when you're reading them, if they're anywhere close to being true. I mean, it's wild, like, how, like, you could just literally be walking down the street and just banged out. And I think that was happening more on the regs. And if we could take us in this era and get in a time machine and go back to that era and just be walking down the street where you have the people in power who could just grab you and just bang you out. And then just murder you, dude. And then the body just lay there. And nobody even stopped what they're doing to investigate. We're doing all right, guys. Guys, we're doing all right. Making a man his wife. I didn't see this one coming. I'm not talking about any gay marriage here. At least not really. I'm talking about Nero taking a man and making him a woman. Guys, in the worst way possible, guys. I mean, and this is also the era where priests, there were secret priests that they would make castrate themselves. And they found these tools. They have found the tools that they use to do this, which is like you would expect. It looks literally like something you find in, I can't even say that because our garages today have all technology. But it's like two rules. Just picture like, okay. Remember those compasses we used to draw with in drafting class or architecture if you're old as me? Picture that, but then picture it about a foot big and then a hole at the top of the A. Well, that's a scissor. And then it has these real cool faces on it and all this Roman art. And they did it themselves. So you had to put your own junk in there and just clack, 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 clack. And that was like you became like an ultimate priest in a secret society back then. In the worst way, he, in quotes, he castrated the boy Sporus and actually tried to make a woman of him. And he married him with all the usual ceremonies, including a dowry and bridal veil, took him to his house, attended by a great throng, and treated him as his wife. End quote. Anuckis, when having sex with men and women just isn't enough anymore. Yeah. I mean, these guys all would have turned into like Jeffrey Dahmers. If this society would have kept going and not fallen, they all would have turned into Jeffrey Dahmers, cutting off dicks and trying to make them sex zombies in their house. This is what Rome was coming to. And I'd be surprised if that didn't occur. There has to be. But that was where the apex of Roman culture was going. Tiddlers. Emperor Tiberius loved to swim. Here we go. And he apparently also loved being pleasured by children. In a feat of inspiration, he managed to combine both these hobbies into one, in quotes. He trained little boys whom he termed tiddlers. He actually called them his minnows. That's the actual term. He called them minnows. So he trained little boys whom he termed minnows to crawl between his thighs when he went swimming and tease him with their licks and nibbles, end quote. It's like the world's, yeah. I mean, and this is the guy that, you know, Tiberius related to Caligula. Caligula ends up murdering Tiberius, becoming emperor, and then just bringing a whole new fucking mindset of depravity and Dahmer-esque activities into Rome. Baby fucking. I'm sorry. Did you think Tiberius Tiddler minnows were bad? He also used to get blowjobs from babies. In quotes, unweaned babies he would put to his organ as though to the breast, being by both nature and age rather fond of this form of satisfaction, end quote. All right, guy. I mean, I'm pretty... You get sick to your stomach when you know... You got to keep it all in perspective, though. You know? You got to keep it all in perspective. I mean, these guys were pieces of freaking work, man. I mean, and I love every last minute of it, dude. It's so fascinating. You know, so fascinating to read about. And, oh, shit. Has that been... Oh, I didn't have a camera on. Oh, well. Fuck, dude. Anyway, support on Patreon, guys. Patreon.com. I'll run the banner at the bottom. So it's on there. Join me over there. Leave your comments of who you enjoy in history. What you liked about the show. Comment. Rate, review on iTunes and on Spotify. You know, tell a friend, man. Get the show out there. All the history buffs, if you will, and we'll keep it moving, man. Original Wig is next week, 9:40 p.m. Eastern. It's on the bottom of the screen. It'll be running across there. And join us on Discord. Original Wig is on Discord. Ask for an invite. I'll shoot you one on Patreon. You know, I'm trying to keep it like not like Rome on there with fucking diddlers and rapists and sickos and people that just like to be all around cunts. Try to keep it so you can have at least a conversation and enjoy the time in there, man. So appreciate everybody listening. That's episode number 7 in the books. Let's see what song. I gotta take us out with Wanna Be a Baller. It's just part of the show, man. I have to do another show sometime with just music. I love some music, dude. So, salute the Empress Messalina and her whore ways. Whether she was doing it empowering or not, or if they threw dirt all over her name, we salute her. The number one whore of Rome, if not, still a baller in our eyes, I say. And we offer her a salute by Lil Troy. Until next time, Saluskis. I'm a baller, I'm a 20-inch crawler, blades on Impala, diamond drop waller, R10 howler, never leader, not a follower. Break these boys off, I'm a 20-inch crawler, bust a left, a right, I'm out of sight, I'm throw. I'm bouncing off the road, I'm in the motor, I'm in the boat, I'm tainted to him. Hop by my big body form, chain with the tongue, can't forgive me what alarm. I'm hopping by, I'm looking good, diamonds against my wood, man, it's understood, got money in my hood. I'm pushing big body, can't stop me, put a 9-8. Gotta sell a million copy. I'ma crow slow, puffin' on the optimo, hit the stove. I'ma go real slow, puffin' on the optimo. I'ma let the grass green, man, I'm looking clean. One more control, get green and night nice bust. Wanna be a baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala. Caller, get lit tonight. Switch a roll tight, got spray with ice. I hit the highway, making money to fly. But it's got the tip going. Killer getting high in the Benz, big ballin', smashing, making my ends. Smoking big killer, getting high in the Benz. In the wind, smoke goes as I crawl down on those. Twangin' Lorenzo, smoke all up in my nose. Your eyes get froze. Hey, you see my load, candy red, too dope. Let my top line slow, hitting my remote. Sitting in my presidential V12 with the AMG kit and go.
Southside. Now we worldwide. Watch me high side. Fat pet, blowing killer, can't be denied. 187 thugs. Oh yeah, we got love. Blowing sticky, green and flow, ooh, and that bug.